Life Audio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Sparkle Speak. I'm your host, Catherine, and today we have on our very special guest, Suze Birch. She's a wife, mother, and creative engineer living in Michigan. In today's episode, we have the pleasure of sitting down with Suze, who embodies a philosophy of mindful consumption and ethical living. Throughout our discussion, Suze breaks down what sustainability actually means and talks about her passion for reducing waste and consumption. And she really emphasizes the importance of products that align with our values and support ethically sourced materials. She highlights some of her favorite products and reminds us of the significance of considering the impact of our purchases on the planet and the human quality of life. She advocates for a lifestyle that embraces simplicity, avoiding processed foods and synthetic materials, and instead choosing products that honor our connection to the earth. That was one of my favorite takeaways from this conversation with her, was just that she really likes to focus on buying things that are as close to the earth as possible. And I thought that was a great takeaway. But before we dive into our conversation, I just wanted to share a little bit about my why for diving into this topic and just give you some scripture that sourced the inspiration for this. So one of the things is Earth Day is coming up on April 22nd, I believe, this year. And we really just wanted to talk a little bit about this idea of conservation. How do we really take care of our planet the way God asks us to? That's something that I don't know, you know, if it's just getting older, if it's the day and the age, if it's what's going on in the world, if it's being a parent, I don't know what it is, but lately I have just been so much more motivated to reduce my footprint here on this earth and reduce waste, reduce consumption. That giant plastic pile that's sitting in the ocean, I don't know if anyone has seen pictures of that, but it literally shakes me to my core. And I get overwhelmed because sometimes I feel like, man, I'm just one person. Even if I completely changed my lifestyle, how much of a difference is that really going to make? But the answer is, if we all just did a little bit to improve our consumption and our waste, and it would make a difference. And in this conversation with Suze, you'll see too that there's more to it than just preserving the earth. And I love that she brings that perspective. But anyway, here's some of my thoughts. So in Genesis 1:26, scripture says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" In Genesis 2:15, it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and keep it." And I love that word, to keep it, to sustain it. We are called to rule over the earth and take care of it. Obviously, God is authority over us, but we as people are called to take care of the earth. And so this is the scripture that really motivated me to dive into this topic a little bit further. And you know, later Suze will mention something, a verse from Matthew that really speaks to her that you can explore as well. So please enjoy hearing about what we talk about. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. Well, Suze, thank you so much for coming on to talk to us today. I've been so looking forward to this conversation. And before we, you know, talk about all things sustainability and preserving the planet and all that good stuff, can you just tell us a little bit about like who you are and a basic summary of your faith background?
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for asking me to jump on and share all things about sustainability. I'm super excited. So I have background in engineering, and now I'm in some medical equipment sales, but that's kind of where it all started. Both my faith journey and sustainability started kind of in college. I grew up in a Christian home, but didn't really understand the gospel until probably middle school. And even that, it was just kind of a striving to be perfect, striving for just something outside of me, I guess. And then in college is really where my faith became my own. I joined an organization at Michigan State, similar to you, Catherine. I think that's kind of how we know each other.
Yes.
And It's yeah, really where like it solidified my faith and where I really had to trust the Lord for the first time, or I guess where I chose to trust the Lord for the first time. And it's yeah, hard to believe, but it's been like a good 10 years since I graduated college, and yeah, just excited to see where the Lord takes me over the next, 10 plus years.
So part of why we have you on here is to talk about, this idea of sustainability and preserving the creation that God created in this planet. And I know that's something that's really important to you. So can you share with us a little bit about what first inspired you to become more conscious about lowering your ecological footprint and why is sustainability so important to you spiritually?
So I'm not really sure when it started, honestly. Like there's not a inception point that like, oh, this is what happened. I think it was kind of the house that I was raised in. I like to think of myself now as a little bit hippy dippy, and I think my parents are a little bit hippy dippy. I do remember in college, I was at lunch one day with a group of friends, and somebody called me a granola, and I was like, I'm sorry, what? And she was like, Suze, you're totally a granola. And I was like, oh, okay. And they described it. And I was like, oh, yes, this does describe
Yeah.
me. But I think in college, there were a couple different things that I did, one of which was Engineers Without Borders. They were working on a project to do composting latrines in Ecuador, which basically, you split the pee and the poop, and they can use it as fertilizer. Both of them can be used. That is not legal in the United States, but in other countries, obviously, laws are different and needs are even different. So that was really fascinating to me. I've never considered that that is a possibility. And so just kind of like greener things from that standpoint and understanding, different. Like farming practices in different regions. Like we live in a large country, but it is a very small portion of the world. And so that just kind of gave me a larger global understanding of what happens. And I think just realizing that other people are impacted, and those people are created in the image of God, and they need the earth to function well, just as well as we do, to be able to care for ourselves daily. So I think that's one story. And then also just some verses that have mattered to me. Thinking about God's creation and the Garden of Eden and how he made the world beautiful. And kind of asks us to take care of that world. And that, yeah, has just been kind of a driving factor to me. And then there's also like some nutritional aspects for me. Even economically, how we look at sustainability. I guess, you know what? The definition of sustainability. I think that's like a great place to start. So, it's the ability to be maintained at a certain rate or level. So, I saw an image online and it was a Venn diagram with three circles, sustainability being in the middle, and there's economic, environmental, and then social and equity. And I think those three things together are kind of like different patterns of my life that I have seen all come together that have been like, oh, yes, this is what sustainability means to me. So fast fashion is one that has kind of come up over the years. And yeah, like I bought a lot of clothes in college. I had a very full closet and it was all pretty cheap. And And it's not even just like, oh, I have a bunch of clothes, but somebody made these clothes. And I think in college I also learned about slavery, modern day slavery. And how that matters. Like, those are also God's people. He created each of them, and it's not fair. To me, it doesn't feel fair that, like, they were born in a lower economic standpoint than I was. So why should I be able to, buy these clothes when they are, being paid $2 a day or something, and can barely feed their families? So that was kind of long-winded, but
Yeah, so I
yeah.
have a question about that actually. And I know later on, as we continue, we're going to get into some more like practical steps for people to take. But with the fast fashion thing, I have been thinking about that so much lately too. Like, if there's a trend and I want something from, a cheaper store, I catch myself because I'm like, is this item even going to last? And I know it's only, $20, $30 or whatever, but that's still, money that can add up and go somewhere else. Do I really need this thing that's probably going to last a season? But then you bring up a good point, something that I haven't really thought about, but it's how it's being made. And so, do you have any insight into like how to know what stores are, ethically sourcing these clothes, or how do you kind of determine like what stores are enslaving people to create their items?
It's tough. I mean, marketing goes a long way, and I think that's kind of something that I'll talk about through all of it, whether it's your beauty products. But fair trade is one good way. So, like, there's a couple brands that I try to buy my clothes from. One is called Pact, and one is Madewell. They both use fair trade. Something that I have kind of tried to do is not by polyester, which is really difficult. Like, it is everywhere. Jeans have spandex in them. They're not always made of cotton. So that's one way to know. Like, you can look at the internet, like, there are news stories when something bad happens in a factory. Sometimes I don't remember what brand it was off the top of my head, but recently I saw, like, there's a fire in a factory and a lot of people died because these buildings aren't even to what we would call code in these third world countries. And they're all women. Like, most of these people who are making these clothes are women. And it's really sad what we don't even really realize because it's so far away from us. So I think another way to look at it is, like, stuff made in the United States. I'm not like only buy you United States. But if it's made in the US, like, we have labor laws that kind of prevent those things from happening. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but ideally it is not happening that close to home.
Sure. Yeah. And I just wanted to touch on that a little bit because I think that was something you brought up in this conversation that I hadn't even thought of, but I think it totally relates because, even though it's kind of more about caring for people as opposed to caring for the planet, that's still all intertwines within itself in God's world. So it's really important to think about when we're looking at this, giant topic in general. But I also like what you mentioned too, how there's kind of multiple motivations for wanting to look more at how we can reduce our just consumption of goods and materials and products. I know for me personally, it's those things you mentioned. It's financial, first of all. Like sometimes looking at it like, how can I save money, buy less, be smarter about my purchases? But sometimes it's also like I am motivated about, okay, where is this plastic going to go when I'm done with it? Like this plastic kid toy that they're going to use for a few weeks. And then, like, where is that going to go? If it doesn't get picked up in donation or given to somebody and reused? Is it going to go sit in the ocean in a plastic pile somewhere? And that just like lately, that's been eating away at me. Like just being like, where does this stuff go when we're done with it? And do we really need it? So that's a big motivation for me. And then I think third is like spiritual motivation. Like you mentioned before with the verses, like what does God say? What does he ask his people to do with his planet and his creation? So I think like just for our listeners, I think it's good to even just pause and say like, where am I at with this idea of sustainability? Like, have I even thought about it? Am I on a journey to, learn more? And then asking yourself, what is my motivation? Like, what motivates me to pursue this? And I would like to hear your answer on this, but I think what you're saying is it's okay to have multiple motivations. Like, does that kind of make sense to have multiple things motivating you to pursue this?
Yeah, I feel like it is so broad that in like my journey has been, I don't know, we'll call it 15 years. And it has changed and ebbed and flowed. Like I think I'm in a season right now where honestly I'm so busy that convenience has taken over my desire. But I w lived in a season during COVID, I guess, where I only made my own clothes. And I tried to make clothes for my daughter. And that was really fun for me. I'm super creative. So, like, that was enjoyable. I'm not telling people that they need to do that. But yeah, seasons of life, they change. And so, being okay with where you're at, where you are at.
Yes. Yeah. And actually, I'm gonna pivot and go out of order in my questions that I was gonna ask you. But like on that topic of being a parent, I think you're so right. Convenience is it matters. There is not enough time in the day to, work and clean your home and take care of yourself, take care of your kids, entertain them, all the things we have to do. It just adds up. And so do you have any advice for parents specifically? Like, how do we reduce waste as parents? And I think part of that is like just the amount of stuff we get, the toys, the clothes. They're always needing new things because they're growing. So how do we reduce the waste? But also like, how do you balance that need for convenience with also trying to be mindful about conservation?
Yeah, that is
It's a loaded
it's
question.
yes, no, this is tough. I think you said earlier something about like what do we need? And I think really paying attention to our needs versus our wants. I think looking through life or looking at life through that lens can really help you decide, do I need this or do I want this? And wants are okay too. We can't, my husband is very practical and I am very not. So we, kind of balance each other out, but sometimes the practical can be kind of boring.
Yes.
It's fun to have new toys sometimes. And, one thing that has been really helpful for me is buying used because especially little kids, they go through things so fast, but they also don't beat things up. Like I have gotten to the point where my daughter is almost 5 and she wears a hole in every single pair of leggings. So, I can't buy used, I can't give them away. So giving them away when you're done or selling them. Facebook Marketplace has been my jam. It is so great for parents. And then I think from like a Christian standpoint, community, your community can really help you to just utilize all of our resources together. I have a momaroo that I think at least 5 other babies have been in
Love
outside of
that.
like my one daughter. And so I just kind of hold on to it for the next friend who has a baby and wants to use it. So I think that there are a lot of ways that we can reduce things, but we have to be a little creative. And also patient, I guess. Not not just going and buying it because we want to have it or we need to have it right now. I think kids need far less than sometimes we think that they need.
I like that idea or that advice of patience because I think especially with social media and the ads that hit us, like something will pop up and it does something literally in my brain where I'm like, oh, I need that. And then I'm like, I need it now because there's a deal. And why not? It's a click of a button. And then we have this thing that enhances our life. And so one rule I've been making lately with myself is if I see something that I feel like we need or want, I can't buy it right away. Like I need to sit on it for a good amount of time and really think through, like, do we actually need that though? Or do we have something similar in our home that maybe isn't quite the same, but it can function almost the same? Like, here's a good example. Like, I have two boys and they're so rambunctious. Like, toddler boys, just crazy jumping off everything. And I don't know if you've seen those little play couches or whatever those are called.
The
I
nugget.
yes, the nugget. I was like, I feel like we need that. Like, they need their own little couch that they can jump on so they don't destroy ours. But then I was like, you know what? We have two chairs that are kid chairs and two bean bags. So they can jump on those and they don't need the nugget couch, even though it looks really cool and a lot of people have it and love it for that purpose. And so I'm really just trying to sit more in like, what do we already have that maybe isn't quite that thing, but it can be used similarly. And so that's really good advice, just the patience that we can try to let overtake us as opposed to just this need for whatever's on the market. Kind of like backtracking a little bit away from like the parenting specifically, but like if somebody was interested in learning, what it was like to live more sustainably, or if they're interested in starting that journey, but they don't really know where to start, do you have any recommendations for where somebody could just kind of start this process of getting their household in a more sustainable place?
Yeah, I think asking yourself what matters to you, because Catherine, what matters to you and what matters to me are probably different. Sustainability, again, is such a broad category. So maybe it's your cleaning products, maybe it's your laundry detergent, or maybe you're renovating a house and you want to do something more sustainable in your home. Maybe it's food, your nutrition, or maybe you want to start a garden. Like, there are so many ways that you can start. And I think my advice is just take one step at a time. Don't overwhelm yourself because there are so many things that you could do, but one step matters. You don't have to have it all figured out today. And there are some resources. EWG, it's the Environmental Working Group, is a website and an app that I have used for a few years that grades products. So you can type in the product, you can scan a barcode in the grocery store, but it kind of gives you a grade of where that product falls.
I love that. That's
Yes.
cool.
One of the things that, like, I think just a broad note, baby products actually tend to rate poorly. They, I think, market them to babies as this, like, safe and gentle, and a lot of times they don't, which is really sad to me and kind of frustrating, honestly. But it's a great resource to kind of see how products do rank for toxins. I think they also look at how things are manufactured. Another thing would be to look at, like, local nonprofits or sustainability within your community, because each community is going to have different things that are important. Like, you and I, we live in the Great Lakes, so water is really important. What else? I think, like, again, community is another really great way. I think, like, some of my friends feel differently about different things, and we get to talk about it and learn from one another. Because the internet can be kind of big and scary and
And
lots of
targeting.
opinions. Yeah.
Yeah, like they target you and then you type in one thing about plastic and then all of a sudden everything you see is about plastic.
Exactly. Yes. And I also think reading labels is a really great way to start. I think I have been appalled at some of the things that are in products that you're like, wait, what? I was just talking to my neighbor about aloe vera gel. And she was like, did you know that there isn't actually that much aloe vera in aloe vera gel? Because it has to be called gel because there isn't enough aloe vera in it to be just straight aloe vera. You know, they put dyes and alcohols in it. Or some peanut butters are actually called peanut butter spreads because they don't have enough peanuts or peanut content to be called peanut butter. So, like, wording matters on labels, and I think when you kind of start to realize what's in things in the manufacturing processes that have to occur, or even like freight, the freight of getting for peanut butter, for instance, the peanuts, the sugar, the molasses, the palm oil, like all of that has to come to one central manufacturing location to then be manufactured. It all adds up. So,
Yeah, this is all good stuff to know and just like keep in mind, even when we're buying things, like, does it need to be bought? Because if it's just going to go sit in a trash can, maybe it doesn't need to be bought. You know, there's so many things to consider. And of course it's okay if it does. You know, like
yes.
there's we can only do so much, and there's, you know, obviously so much grace for just being a human on this planet. But I think it's so good just to be thinking about it. And like asking God to speak into it to us too. Like, change my heart. Help me to see what you see. Like, what do I need to change to be a better steward of this world? But just kind of as we end, I just have like two last questions for you. But one of them being, do you have any favorite products? Like, what are your favorite products that you have that, you know, kind of help contribute to this overall goal of consuming less?
Yeah. My like general first goal with products is to go as close to the earth as possible. So trying to use like whole foods, whole things rather than processed things first. We use so much coconut oil in my family. Sometimes like coconut oil leaves like stains. My husband uses it as a hair product, so his pillowcase is, you know, filled with coconut oil. So that is one. And then Norwex is a really good one. I used to sell that, and what I really enjoy about it is one cloth. You use water with it, and it can pick up, I think it's 99% of bacteria, I think is what they say we have to say. It doesn't pick up viruses, but it works really well to clean things, and it's just water, no chemicals. And I used that like all through COVID. I didn't use like Clorox, no disinfecting wipes, just because of the chemicals in them. Like they, and also people I don't know that use them correctly, you're supposed to like leave it wet for 10 minutes. And I don't know that that actually ever happens to fully like disinfect things. But that's my cleaning background. So yeah, Norwex is really great. Like we
That's
have not
cool. So
bought.
you can use, sorry, I didn't mean to
Nope,
interrupt you, but
you're
you can
good.
use like one rag to just like clean your house, like, wipe counters, wipe bathrooms, wipe baseboards, like anything.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes. I love it. We have not bought body detergent or body detergent, body wash in like probably close to 7 or 8 years. So they have like a body cloth that we use to wash, shave, all sorts of things. So
Wow.
that is pretty great. We love Castile soap. It's a good,
Okay.
my husband uses that to shave his face just for his sensitive skin. Yeah, and then like clothing I touched on, Pact and Madewell. And then we use a budgeting app, which I know seems kind of left field-ish, but I think for us, budgeting has really helped us maintain some of our goals of not buying excessive amounts of things. So I think for me, the best way to reduce is to have a budget and say like, well, I can't buy this because like we've used our budget, especially with clothing. That has been, it's hard. It is really hard, especially when I started a new job in a different industry, to say like, I can't just go out and buy a bunch of clothes. I have to be intentional about my choices. Yeah, I think those are like a good start on products.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And something I've been trying to do lately too, when it comes to clothing or even like decorating a home, because we moved recently, and so we're in the process of like putting things up on the walls and buying furniture and all that stuff. And I think there was a time when I would just buy something just to buy it and like check it off a list, get it done. And now I'm really intentional, or trying to be more intentional about things of like, do I really love this? Like, is this a product that is gonna last? It's, made well. And like, we truly love it and actually need it. And it's like, if it answers all those things, and to your point, works in our budget, and, we haven't overconsumed, then I feel more peaceful about the purchase, about what's in our home. But if I'm just like buying excessively and our house is cluttered and filled, I feel like physically anxious. It starts to kind of like weigh on you a little bit. And so I do think while it can be hard to be patient and it can be exhausting to be intentional, I think it's overall so worth it. And I think it contributes to our peace. But then also this larger picture of just caring for God's world and his people. So I think while it can be difficult, it's worth it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have, I know you talked about some scripture that, has kind of spoken to you, but if you could just choose like your favorite one or two verses that have really like just spoken to you about this topic, what would those be?
Yeah, I think I don't know that I touched a ton on like the social aspect of it, but I think how we are called to love the least of these. So yeah, Matthew 25:40, like it's not a it the planet matters absolutely because it is our earth, like we live on it, but the people matter the most. And I think like I live a middle class life. It's pretty simple and easy, all things considered. But there are so many people who they don't even have a choice. And I think we have the opportunity to make a choice that can impact them for greater. And I think yeah, we're called to do that. And like Jesus laid down his life for us. I can not buy some plastic. to help people around me and people who even live even further away. Yes.
Yes.
And I also think, like, I hope this gives people grace, but like this side of eternity, like there is no such thing as perfection. And so none of us will ever get there. We can keep trying and we can learn and we can grow, like, but we will never arrive. So I hope that gives people grace to just keep moving on and not stress or be anxious about figuring it all out.
Yeah, that's really good. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciated this, and I think it's going to be great. So yeah, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this conversation with Suze. I think it's really important and hopefully really honors the earth on this day that we celebrate called Earth Day. We really should be doing it every day, but in honor of this day coming up, I hope you enjoy that. I did want to take just a brief second to explain some of my favorite products. So lately, I've been on this journey, like I mentioned earlier, of just trying to do a little bit better step by step. It's not going to be perfect, but every day I'm just trying to make little changes here and there. And so a few products that I have discovered that I really like are number one, Branch Basics. It's a cleaning product line, and you can buy a starter kit, and it can come in glass or plastic bottles. I mean, obviously, I think the glass is an awesome substitution for plastic, but if you do get the plastic option, because I believe it's a little bit cheaper, it's, which actually that's the option I have. I feel better about it because I'm not throwing out the plastic bottle every time. I just buy the concentration or the concentrate, sorry. And I just remix it into the plastic bottle I already have. So that makes me feel so much better. And it is just more natural ingredients, closer to the earth, as Sue says. Another company I really enjoy is called Blue Land. And I actually use that as my toilet cleaner. And what I love about it is it comes in a little tin. So you can have a tin box that you just leave on your toilet seat or your bathroom or whatever. And it's a little tablet. So it's not this liquid in a plastic bottle, it's a tablet. And when you run out of it, they ship it to you in paper bags. So you're not using any plastic. And I love, love, love that. I also really like that. It's just one tablet. So it's portion control. It's super easy. It smells divine, like this lemony, fresh scent. And so that is my new favorite toilet cleaner. And they have a bunch of other products too. They have laundry stuff, but I just love that it comes in, tin containers and paper. It's awesome. The last one I'm going to share with you is something I just discovered. It's called Bite toothpaste, and thought this was very fascinating. I actually have not tried it yet. I am telling you in full transparency, I haven't yet tried it, but I do plan to. But one of the things is they are talking about the amount of toothpaste tubes that just get thrown into landfills or the ocean or what have you, and it's just ridiculous when you think about how much toothpaste a person or a household can go through. It's kind of mind-boggling. And so what I like about this toothpaste is it comes in these little tablets again, and you just, get your toothbrush wet and use one of these tablets, and it comes in a glass jar, and you can get the refills sent to you in, I believe, paper packaging. So that's just another small, small, small way that we can make a difference. And I know it's kind of like one of those things where you sit there and think, man, if I do my toothpaste this way, is that really making a difference? But I believe it does. When you think of a lifetime of toothpaste tubes, wow. So, anyway, I hope that's a little bit of inspiration for you on this Earth Day episode. And I really hope that you guys have some inspiration, some motivation, and most of all, grace to know that we are not called to be perfect. We're just called to try. And if you want to invite the Lord into this process with you, I'm sure He has a lot to say, a lot of encouragement, and a lot of ideas and love to give to you. I'll see you here next episode.
This is Chris Christensen, and back in 2006, I started a simple project. A project to try and introduce more people to the Bible through Bible study called the Bible Study Podcast. It's a simple name and a simple idea. Each week, every week, we study one chapter of the Bible, talk about what it says, and what that might mean for us today. To listen now, go to lifeaudio.com or search for the Bible Study Podcast on your favorite podcast app.